Good morning. Turning your Bibles to the book of Haggai this morning. The book of Haggai is just two chapters in the Old Testament, and that's going to be the basic text of what we're going to be looking at. And while you're turning there, let me just share a few things with you. Tonight, we're having all of our life groups meet together back at the building, so let me encourage all of you, you know, to make a special effort to be here tonight. We're going to do something just a little different, but it's going to be a very encouraging and uplifting evening, so we're meeting all together. It's the fifth Sunday, and so we encourage you to be a part of that this evening. I also encourage you to check out our website. Tom does an incredibly good job on that, and on our website you have an activities list, a calendar, and you can keep current, especially through the month of December. We've got a lot of things that are happening, so I encourage you to keep up with that, and it's linked to our Facebook, and so we're trying as best we can to keep communication with people and let you know what's going on. Next Saturday, we had postponed our men's business meeting for the month of November until December the 6th, which is this coming Saturday. We have our men's breakfast at 8 o'clock, and the men's meeting will be at 9:30. Two totally different deals. You can come to one and not the other, or you can come to both. And, you know, eat more than you need and fall asleep during the meeting. I don't know. However you want to do it. But I encourage you to turn out to both of them and be a part of that. One last thing I do want to encourage you, a lot of people still out, still traveling, some people still on their way home, students coming back this week, tonight, next week is the last week of school before they go into finals, and so just keep them in your prayers if you would, and I know that they would really, really appreciate that. So we're looking at priorities. We've been looking at relationships and boundaries for the whole year, and we're looking at the whole concept of boundaries, and within those boundaries there are priorities. And this past week, or in fact the last several weeks now, I've been reading some of the old sermons that were preached back in the 1800s, and looked at some of the sermons that were preached then about boundaries and priorities, because there's a part of me that thinks our culture has changed, and it has. Very distinctively, it has changed. However, our priorities and boundaries stay the same. They're constant. And I read something that one of an old preacher, Brother Robson was his name. Don't know much about the guy. But he said this in one of his remarks. He said he was talking about how to make an old rabbit stew. And he said, this is the recipe. And the first thing, he said, you've got to catch the rabbit. And I thought to myself, you know, that's pretty profound old country logic, isn't it? You got to get first things first. You got to catch the rabbit. And so that's what we need to do when we're talking about our relationships and we're talking about priorities and setting our priorities. We need to get the first things first. And that's important for us to do, because we look into the world that we live in, and we recognize that people have got some pretty wacky ideas about priorities and what are the first things and the main things that they need to focus on. And I was reading through a bunch of stuff about priorities, and I came across an article that really intrigued me. And it was an article about a football coach, a head football coach. He was the coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, and then he was hired in to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson was his name. And he made a statement that really surprised me. The day that he was hired, he fired his wife. And he made this statement. He said, I cannot be married and the head football coach of an NFL team at the same time. When he was a coach of a college team, he needed his wife for the social functions, but now he didn't need her, so he fired her. Interesting that after he quit coaching NFL football, he remarried his wife, and maybe that's why he's not coaching anymore, I don't know. But in contrast to that, staying with the Dallas Cowboys, I found some interesting information about Tom Landry. And Tom Landry was probably the preeminent coach, kind of like Bear Bryant and the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, he's an icon of the football world. And Tom Landry made an statement, and this was on record. He said, the thrill of knowing Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and He expects me to use it to His glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I am always a Christian. Christ is first, family second, and football third. What an incredible difference between two successful coaches that coached in the same arena. Landry recognizes, and he said in 1958, and it's on record, he said that there is something that everyone who has been successful must do. And he said, I determined my priorities in my life, and my priorities were God first, family second, and then football. So it's interesting that we look into the world that we live in, and we see different people having different sets of priorities. And yet when we go back to make rabbit stew, as it were, if we go back to the original book that determines for us where the recipe starts, it is God who created us, and God said, He is to be first. And so as we set our priorities, and as we read about that, we're reminded constantly throughout scriptures that God is to be number one in our lives. And so if you're in the book of Haggai, and that's where we really want to be, Haggai speaks to us very specifically about that. Two short chapters that this prophet wrote about the nation of Israel, and he speaks to us about the importance of having our priorities right. For me, it seems that too often we spend too much time on the urgent and the immediate rather than looking at what's really important. And because we spend that time on the urgent and the immediate, we spend very little time on the important things that really are the priorities in our lives. And sure, I recognize that sometimes stuff happens and there's things that we need to pay attention to that take us off of our agenda or off of where our normal priorities lie, and we need to be involved in doing that. When I was in Atlanta, preaching in Atlanta, I had the privilege of going to several different seminars, and I remember I went to Stephen Covey's seminar on time management, and in fact the guys that I worked with encouraged me to go back a second time as well, and that maybe tells you something, that sometimes my priorities aren't always where they need to be. According to them, they weren't. But one of the things that I do remember from that time management course that I went on was this. We were told that if we were working effectively and still couldn't accomplish the things that we need to accomplish in a regular working day, then we had too much work. If we're working effectively, if we're putting our attention to that which is needed to be done, and we still cannot get through it all, then there's something wrong. Our priorities are out of whack. And sometimes it's just bad time management, and I recognize that. And sometimes it really comes to the point of, what are we trying to do? What are we really trying to accomplish? And it comes down to what is really important for us. If people are important for us, then we focus on people, and sometimes we tend to lose sight of time. And that's my justification, just in case you want to know it. And that may be right or may be wrong, and we can debate that. But where do we set the boundaries? How do we set our priorities? How do we determine what is really, really important for us to do? I think there's a well-accepted principle in life, and it confirms that what's important to us is really reflected in how we use not only our time and our money and our effort and our talent, but what's really important to us is reflected in who we are and what we do and where we go and what we commit to. And so as we look at the book of Haggai, Haggai reveals for us a beautiful picture or study of people who really want to serve God, and yet their priorities and their focus is distracted by other things. And so let's get a somewhat of a historical perspective on what's happening in the book of Haggai. They'd been in exile, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, and they'd been released from their exile, and there were somewhat between probably about 50,000 people who had returned to Jerusalem, and their main focus in returning to Jerusalem was that they were going to set about restoring the temple and all of the things that were involved in the restoration of the temple. And so they returned under the guidance of the Persian kingdom when Cyrus was still the king, and he funded them and he allowed them to go back, and they began to lay the foundations of the temple, and they began to be about doing the things that were restoring the whole temple concept. But they stopped. And they stopped because the text reveals to us, and the historical account reveals to us, that Darius had been replaced by Cyrus. And I got those mixed up just now. But Darius had been replaced. And Cyrus had stopped their income in the restoration of the temple. And not only that, they found opposition by the local inhabitants as well. And they were kind of saying, well, you know, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You can't change the things that have always been this way. And so they were distracted from what their priority was in terms of returning to the city of Jerusalem. And now we find ourselves in the book of Haggai some 15 years later, and God uses Haggai to kick them back into gear and to remind them of what's really, really important. And you see, they had forgotten in a very short space of time, and they had lost sight of the boundaries. The boundaries had become blurred, and there were things that were happening that really messed them up and put them in places where, that's where I need to be, and put them in places where they couldn't see what was going on. And we find ourselves in that position sometimes, don't we? We find ourselves tied up in difficult situations that take us away from where we need to be. But not only do we find ourselves in that situation, there's a whole lot of other distractions that cause us to lose sight of what we're supposed to be about. They had returned to a desolate area, and they hadn't been in touch with that whole area for about 70 years, and it had been ravaged, and things had just fallen back into things that used to be where they were. And so they lived on past dreams. You know, we have an expression in the world that we live in, and that expression is we parked on somebody else's dime or nickel. And so we don't have a focus for ourselves. We just use what was there in the past, and we become content with that. And all that they could think of, it appears from reading through the text of Haggai, especially the first four verses, was getting themselves situated. It's important that I get myself situated. And so they paneled their houses with all of these fancy refineries, and they did all of this stuff to make themselves comfortable. And their whole life became involved and evolved around what they wanted to do and make themselves comfortable and survive, and because, well, they'd earned it. They deserved it. It kind of sounds familiar to some of the rhetoric that we hear in the world that we live in today. I love what God says in verse 4. Of chapter 1, if you have your Bibles open there. And really, if it's a paraphrase, what he's saying, hold on a minute. How come you built for yourselves all of these nice houses when mine's just a load of bricks and foundations and are still in disarray? How come that you pay attention to yourself and to your needs and to the things that excite you and to the things that satisfy your ambitions, and you've left the temple in ruins, and it's really not functional? And I don't believe that when he spoke about these things, that he was just talking about the physical structure. Because if we understand the whole concept of what Haggai is about, it's about restoring the temple, and restoring the temple included more than just making sure the pile of bricks were one on top of the earth, of each other, and it looked nice and neat.
If we're about restoring the temple, and we understand that whole concept, it was about restoring the temple life as well as the physical structure. And so their homes and their lives were repaired to where they were living easily, and they were doing the things that excited them, and maybe they were fishing and golfing and hunting and watching sport or whatever it is, to use modern terminology to fill in the gaps, and they were content and comfortable, and they were exceedingly well taken care of, and God had just been left on the outside. In fact, all God got was the excess, and there wasn't a whole lot of excess because it was all consumed for their own needs. And so it seems to me that as we look at the book of Haggai, these people that Haggai addressed had confused their priorities, and they had actually begun to pay the cost for that. And so it's important that we understand that whole concept. When we look at the book of Haggai and we realize what was going on, serving God was a joy. It wasn't a chore. It wasn't something that they had to do. And if you notice in verse 8 of the text in chapter 1, it says that building the temple is to be pleasurable and God is to be honored. It is something that they look forward to do. It's something that they do with vigor. It's something that they do with excitement and anticipation. It's something that they do looking forward to the event that's going to happen. You've heard me say this a couple of times, and it's football season, so I'll say it again and take the comments as they come. You know, I look forward to the day of arriving here at 8 o'clock in the morning and finding people in the parking lot tailgating, waiting to come to church. I look forward to the day when people arrive 30, 40 minutes early and are excited about seeing one another before we begin to worship or before we begin to do whatever it is that we plan to do that's going to improve or advance the whole kingdom of God. Rather than people showing up late or showing up just on time or coming up with the excuses that they can't get you. And so serving God is a joyful experience. And God reminds them of that. And he says that for us to be able to build the kingdom of God, it needs to be a fun activity. It's not just an activity of prohibitions. We can't do this and we can't do that. But rather it's something that we do with joy and excitement, and we feel great satisfaction in doing that. And so the question comes to us, as it was offered to the people in the time of Haggai. And it's a simple question. Where's your priorities? Matthew chapter 22, the passage of scripture that Steve read for us as the text this morning, Jesus responds to the question by those who are legalistic, those who just want to stay within the lines and do just exactly what it says and not do anything more or anything less. And he asks them, and in response to their questions, he says that everything that we are about is we're to love God. And love is a joyful experience. It's not a hardship. I know there's hardships included in it. And you know that. If you've been married for more than a year, you've already been exposed to that. But love is a joyful thing. It's not a chore. It's not a harsh thing. It's not a hardship. And so, when we serve God, and we serve Him because of the love that is within us, it becomes a happy experience. And Haggai shows them as he goes through the text and as he speaks to them about the things of God that their priorities were all the wrong way around. They were all upside down and messed up. They thought that it wasn't the right time to build the temple because they couldn't afford to give their money because they were putting it in other things. They couldn't afford to give their time because they were engrossed in other activities. Because all of their efforts went on fighting against the environment that they were in and taking care of themselves first. And that was a primary focus of Haggai as he spoke to these people. when actually the truth was the conditions were worsening because they neglected their first love. Because they had neglected to do the things that they had first made a covenant, and I love that word, a covenant or a commitment to with God. And they put that on the back burner. Paul warned the Christians in the Ephesian church. And he spoke to them about that very thing. And he reminded them that their battle wasn't against flesh and blood. But the battle was in the spiritual realms. And if we don't get our head right and our heart right and our focus in the right place, then we're going to do the things that our body calls us to do. And we're going to satisfy the peripheral appetites that we have, rather than addressing the heart issue. See, these people back in the book of Haggai had got it all completely the wrong way around. And maybe God was holding back His blessings and trying to bring them back by putting them into situations that challenged where they were at, that challenged their priorities. Here in the Old Testament, we look back at this and we can say, well, you know, maybe these people were selfish, and, you know, we're kind of hesitant to call them stupid, but really that's what they were. You know, when you do the same things that you know you've always done and you don't get the results what you want, you know, that's the height of stupidity, isn't it? When we keep going back, doing things over and over again that we know aren't going to improve where we're at. And so God raised up this prophet Haggai to tell it to them straight. I'd like to say that they listened, but maybe they didn't. I'm sure you, like me, at times when I find myself going through difficult times, I've cried out to God and I've asked Him, why? Why, Lord, is this happening? Why does this continue to happen? And maybe the answer could be, well, Jeff, you got your priorities mixed up. Maybe my boundaries have become very indistinct. So maybe it's a time for me to go back and just re-examine the commitment that I've made to God. And maybe, like them, we need to go back and look at God and understand the commitment or the covenant that we made with Him. And we need to bring our focus back to Him. I do not believe there's a single one of us, if we've made a commitment to God and we've covenanted with Him, there was a time when we said, Lord, I will serve You as my Lord and my Master, and I will put nobody else before You. If we're Christian, we've made that commitment somewhere down the road. Well, I look at the text in Haggai, and I understand that while the temptation is to personalize it all, it also applies to the generic body of people that we would today call congregations. And so when nothing seems to be working as a congregation, and the body just seems to be floundering and rocking to and fro on the gentle waves and just meandering down the course of the river, then maybe God's calling His people back to focus. Maybe He's calling congregations to focus their activities on the one main thing, and that is Jesus. When we contrast that to boundaries that have been lost, and I don't know if you can see this in this photograph. Whoops, let me take it back there. I don't know if you're going to see this. I was talking with Tom about it this morning. There's a fence that is buried here in the undergrowth and the brush, and if you look really closely, you can see that. And sometimes I think that's how our boundaries, our priorities become overgrown. And we lose sight of where they are. But I praise God that there are still people, even amongst us, as they were back in the time of Haggai, who listened and worked out their priorities and started to work on the temple again and started to do the things that God had called them to do. And you see what happens. God begins to bless them. And he says that he began to stir up their spirits. And he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. And then as we go on into the second chapter of Haggai, God promises to look after them and keep them in peace while everything else that is going on around them may be crazy and the world may be going off of its kilter or wherever it is. And so when we have clear parameters and boundaries, when we know where we're going, what we're supposed to be accomplishing, when we have that focus within our minds, and we don't get our boundaries confused, and we have a clarity of what we're doing, we have purpose, and we have specific things that we know that we need to be about instead of just kind of plodding along and doing what we've always done. Sometimes we sit back and we think, well, when I've got my personal life sorted out, when I've got my retirement all sorted out, when I've got all my situation set up where I can be comfortable and I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, when I've got that all together, then there'll be time for me to consecrate myself back to God. Wrong priority, according to what Haggai says. Even back then, God was calling his people and telling them they cannot blame their circumstance on the things that were happening around them. They cannot say, well, you know, it's not my fault that all of this is not going right. They can't blame it on somebody else when they themselves don't have their focus and their priorities where they need to be. And really, when you break that down, really what God is speaking to us, he's saying, I cannot say it's somebody else's fault, but I need to be responsible for myself. And we've looked at that, and we've seen that come up over and over again when we look at relationships. We can't expect the person or the persons that we have a relationship with to be responsible for everything that I do. There's a partnership involved in any love relationship, including our relationship with God. And so we can't blame it on the preacher or the elders or the deacons or whoever else it is. And so these Jews back in the time of Haggai were continuing to sin while they were building the temple, and they were thinking, you know, if I just do this little bit over here, then God's going to be okay with me over here. But that's really not the case, is it? Because everything is going to be exposed. What God wanted them to do before they even began to build the temple was to cleanse their own hearts, make sure that their priorities were right. Parts of their lives weren't clean. And so they said, well, the dirty parts were nullifying the clean parts. And so what's the point of continuing to build the temple if they weren't living holy lives? Beloved, I'm here to tell you, the point is that God's grace and mercy continues to cleanse us. That even though I recognize that I'm not perfect, and don't smile and laugh when I say that, I'm dead serious, neither are you, that doesn't nullify me from doing that which God has called me to do. It certainly doesn't justify the sin or the inactivity in my life. But it gives me the opportunity to focus clearly on my priorities and my boundaries and continue as my journey continues to bring my life more and more into conformity with where God wants it to be. When we leave sight or lose sight of those boundaries and the priorities or the parameters of who we are, then we get to that point where we say, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me anything different. You know people like that? There are people who will not listen to anyone. There are people who, irrespective of what anyone would say to them, they're going to do it their way. Those people, beloved, have lost sight of God's calling. And so God reminds us to clean up our own lives. And reminds us that we need to focus on the things that He has called us to focus on. And in calling us to focus on those things, He reminds us that life is hard. And that when we look back into our life, there's things that are in our lives that cause us to stumble. And when we stumble, we hurt not only ourselves, but we hurt those that are around us and within us. Your priorities are your character. You know, we think we can disguise who we are. But when you look at the character of a person, you can see what their priorities are. And their priorities make them who they are. And so Scripture calls us to stand up and to be accounted for. Scripture calls us to look to God and to trust that He will give us the steam that we need to be able to function the way that He has called us to function. I never wrote his name down, but there was one of the preachers that I spoke about earlier on that I was been reading some of these old sermons. On this particular text, he had 2 points. And his 2 points were this. He says, too often we tend to put our comfort and desire or making a living or keeping a life first, and we give God what is left. That was interesting, especially when that came from the 18th century. And the second point he made was this. He said, God is not so much concerned about what we do for Him, but whether we're clean to do it. Interesting thoughts. And so as we look at our priorities, as we head into a season that really takes us away from looking at the things that Christ would have us do, in some instances. In other instances, it calls us to be more sensitive to who Jesus is. My challenge for you this morning, beloved, is simply this. That even as you would challenge me and hold me accountable to the things that I do, that you would allow yourself to be held accountable by others to do that which God has called you to do. And that your priorities are clear, that they're well-defined, and you know who you are. I know whom I am believing. And I am able. And I'm going to mess this up because I do it every time. And I am able to do that which is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond that He has called me to do. I know that. I know whom my Redeemer is. And I pray to God that you do too. Especially as we look at our priorities and try to focus on the things that God has called us to do. Jeff has a song for us. I don't believe it's changed. Won't you stand as together we sing as we encourage one another.